What do you suppose piddling little families with only five or six children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army. And
the hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa, beautiful beginnings of Western Springs and Lincoln Park, and Day Out with Thomas at the Illinois Railway Museum. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
On a lot of parenting matters, I guess I do things, I think, a little differently. But on this one, it seems I'm really hanging out there by myself. Now, I have long talked to my kids about romance, finding its only, its true wholeness within marriage. I mean, that's the natural end game of marriage. But with them entering the teen years, there's a 13 and an 11-year-old, and there's two watching them from behind, 8 and 6. And I decided it was time to put kind of a fine point on what I was saying there. So I've let them know that I will not be permitting dating relationships while they live in my home. Wow, scandalous. Now that's presumably until they go off to college or send them off to college. And you know what? I won't even then be encouraging romantic relationships until they are ready to actually think about marriage. I mean, look, like I said, I realize on this one, I'm walking a pretty solitary path. Most parents, however reluctantly, seem to allow dating, even for very young teens. I mean, I can't tell you how often I hear about, the 14-year-old and my son's 15-year-old girlfriend, or my 14-year-old son and his girlfriend, or my 15-year-old daughter and her boyfriend are doing this, that, and the other thing. And I kind of think, What are you talking about? Why in the teen years, when kids should be out with friends and exploring friendships and relationships as friends with the opposite sex? I mean, that's a healthy and wholesome thing. What in the world are you doing allowing them to have these exclusive, romantic, intense dating relationships? I just think it's kind of nuts. Now, conversely, there are some folks, now these are typically committed Christians, who enforce a courtship arrangement for their children. That is increasingly popular, it seems, among very solid Christian folk. And, these are kids who are often fairly well protected from the secular culture to begin with, the sexual culture too, I suppose. And in that culture, when a young man decides to pursue a young woman for marriage, he asks her parents for permission to, quote unquote, court her, sort of an old-fashioned arrangement. I have to say I'm not for that. I happen to think that if my daughters are ready for marriage, they should be able to be approached directly, for starters. I mean, if somebody came to me and said, gee, can I approach Victoria about courting her? I think I would say, go ask Victoria. She's a big girl. And that would be kind of her job to make that call. I think that the whole courtship arrangement is almost as contrived as this weird pairing off of our kids when they're 15 into these intense romantic relationships. You are listening to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart on WYLL AM 1160. And I want to get back to this whole dating culture, which I think is very strange. But first, I want you to know where you can find more about Betsy's blog, and that's at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. You can find more there about It Takes a Parent, about my book by the same name. Producer Lynn has the week off. She is with her family. And you know what? That's what the show is about. Other shows like to talk about what's going on in the world. We like to talk about what's going on in your world, what's important to your home and family. We like to say that our ultimate goal for our children is heaven, not Harvard. Though if they stop into Harvard on the way to heaven, we hope here on the show that we're raising the kind of people and encouraging you to raise the kind of people. And I'm sure my listeners are the type of people raising the kind of people who could do Harvard some good. Well, back to this dating thing. I would love to know what you think about this. Am I completely off base here? Let's get a conversation going at betsysblog.com. It's betsysblog.com. There's the sort of general culture, which is everybody's doing it, and I have to let my 14-year-old and 15-year-olds do it. Then there are some of these segments, and the one is sort of, we're not going to have anything to do with that. In fact, we're not really going to encourage necessarily even close friendships between boys and girls, and we'll wait until there really is a move towards marriage, and then somebody can sort of decide that they want to see about marrying one of our children, and they'll kind of get a permission slip for that. And then there's this odd combination that I've seen in news stories. And this is almost the strangest thing to me. And I've seen this in news stories on the matter of virginity pledges. Now, again, just like the parents who want to do the courtship, I think they're really well-intentioned. And I'd probably rather see that than this weird dating relationship that we seem to all, you know, all countenance. When I say dating, I mean intense, romantic, exclusive relationships that we allow our children to pair off into. But this other combination is kind of odd, and I've seen it many times. Typically, I see it in news articles on the virginity pledge, you know, where young people pledge to remain virgins until they're married. And I've seen it where these parents seemingly encourage these intense romantic relationships among teens because they almost idolize the popular virginity until marriage promises their kids make, as if that confers some magic virtue on them. And you know what? Studies actually show that most people who take the pledge don't keep it, though apparently the pledge does delay first sex. But I've written about this. I'm really not a fan of these virginity pledges because I think it raises up this idea of virginity literally as an idol. And I remember years ago, I remember the mother of a groom saying to me about the young bride who was my friend, "Oh, I was so glad to find out that she was a virgin. I was just so thrilled to have that information." And I thought, okay, memo to self, I never want to have that information about my intended, my children's intendeds, and I sure don't want to share it with anybody else. And I just thought, you know, this particular gal was a great gal. But what if she had been corrupt or lustful or greedy or in other ways nasty? Would that have all been covered over because she'd met the criteria of being a virgin? Now, don't get me wrong. I am absolutely for waiting for sex until marriage. My kids know that. They know that is right. They know that is God's best for them. But I think the pledge sets up this idolization of something that's the be-all and end-all instead of looking at the larger issue, which is one of innocence and chastity and generousness and real virtue. It's almost like, I hate to say, I think it's a little bit sometimes it's a little bit like the Pharisees wanting to say, look at me, I'm doing this good thing. I just think the issue of our kids and sexuality is so much bigger than any virginity pledge. You know, I would love to know what you think about this. What, you know, do you think I'm way off base? Do you think I'm making sense? I'd love to get a conversation going about this at betsysblog.com. Let's do this at betsysblog.com. Well, anyway, so you've got those two sidebars going on, if you will. But then you've got the main issue of most people just may not like the fact that their 14-year-old has fallen madly in love and is paired off with some fellow or some girl, but they honestly don't think they can do a whole lot about it. Well, I told my kids, you know what? I want them to always have great friendships with the opposite sex, and they all do. I want them to go out with groups of friends of both sexes, and if it comes down to a special destination event, say a high school dance, you know, they're welcome to go with a date. You know, if somebody asks them to a special event, then kind of the girls can get dressed up and feel pretty, and the boys can get some practice in squiring a girl around. And, you know, I think that's fine. But just like there's not going to be these things like courtships or pledges in my home, because I think they're contrived, I'm not going to condone this really nonsensical practice of romantic relationships in teens and young teens learning, you know, long before marriage is a realistic possibility and falling into these relationships. And like I said, I'm kind of alone on this one. So you got to know that I'm sitting here all by myself talking on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. You can find out more at betsysblog.com. Because I say these things, and I have people, even Christian people who share my worldview, saying, you know what? you know, you're just nuts. It's just never, it's never going to work in your house. You can keep tabs on your kids all you want, but you're not going to be able to keep them from these intense relationships. You know what? And I just say, look, I'm not suggesting I can control my kids' every movement. That's not my goal. My goal is to build right principles into them so that they think about these things wisely on their own. And as I've long explained to my kids, when it comes to romantic relationships, anytime it can't possibly lead to marriage in some realistic time frame, it's not good enough for them. This isn't just about sex or keeping sex until marriage, which is right, but it's part, that's all part of the larger picture. This is about the way we're created. Never mind what the culture says. We are created to want in a romantic relationship its natural end, marriage. And when that's not possible, the romance, it's by definition stunted. It's frustrated. That's the nature of the case. So then teens go from one such relationship to the next. The heart is impacted every time. And pretty soon, you know, they're practicing for divorce, not marriage. And teens aren't wired to handle well this kind of emotional intensity. That is why parents have got to step in. And the idea that kids can learn anything positive from these relationships that they couldn't learn from friends of the opposite sex, you know, I think it's just silly. Oh, look, you know what? My kids could deceive and sneak around, obviously. You know, they know that too. They could tell me they're out in a big group date and I could really see them all going out together as a group and they could pair off without me knowing. I can't be with them every second. I've got four kids. I'm not going to be able to follow them around. I may get them, you know, global positioning devices with cameras and everything else. I'm still, if they want to deceive me at some level, of course, they're going to be able to do it. But you know what? The same is true when it comes to drugs or alcohol. It's just that when it comes to romance, which is a positive thing, my goal is to prepare their thinking, even now, that if there isn't the real possibility of marriage, they are settling for something that, like I said, it is just not good enough for them. And friends, I really know very few parents who are excited about the idea of their 16-year-old being in an intense romantic relationship. I just don't know that many people who are like that. I've seen the news articles with parents who brag about how you know, Susie and Bobby have been going out for 2 years, but, oh, they're chaste, and that's what matters, and they go on and on about this. And I sort of think, you know, that's not really realistic or typical, I don't think, but I have seen that. You know, and I've seen the other people who are, my kids are almost not going to talk to members of the opposite sex or only in chaperone settings. We're going to be super careful, and then we'll do the courtship arrangement. But the vast majority of people, even solid, loving Christian parents, are out there allowing their kids to be romantically attached knowingly. I mean, yes, you know, we can't prevent what we don't see, and things go on behind our backs and all that, but they're knowingly allowing this long before marriage is a realistic possibility. And I think they are just setting their children up for heartache. Yes, some people are going to start romantic relationships in high school that will end in a lifetime of marriage. And I do know people for whom that's happened. And that is wonderful. But the far more likely scenario is that it will just end in heartbreak. And, you know, I've had people say, oh, but I met my spouse in high school. I said, well, that's great. Do you want your child? Would you choose for them to fall in love when they're 15? Well, no. I mean, if it happens, they'll say it's one thing. I wouldn't choose it. Of course not, because you know the likelihood. And why these same parents who will say, you know, no to drugs and no to alcohol, and they will talk to their children and say sex outside of marriage isn't okay, why at some point don't they start early in helping their kids to think rightly about relationships? That's all I'm saying. Not some arbitrary, you will not date young lady until you're 16 or 18 or 32. But to just start talking to them about the beauty of romance and God's plan for marriage and how wonderful it is and how anything short of the real deal of marriage and all of its physical and emotional wonderful complexity, how anything short of that is not good enough for them. I'd love to know what you think about this. Go ahead and tell me at betsysblog.com. Look, I'm sure I have lots of battles to be fought in the future. I'm not suggesting for a minute I've solved the problem by, you know, having these conversations with my kids. What I am saying is that I'm trying to build a not a negative picture of relationships with the opposite sex, but a positive one so that they don't just settle for, you know, crummy hamburger meat and then they're too full to have the really great steak that has their name on it. And I just I'm going to keep encouraging my kids. I'm going to keep an eye on them, and I'm going to hope I'm building right principles into them. I mean, look, I'm not naive enough to think that my stance, which is very unique, I'm finding, offers my kids any kind of ultimate protection against anything. But I hope that I'm wise enough to know that if I don't try to build right principles into my children's hearts and minds, even now, that I've already failed them. You are listening to Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent. You can find out more on betsysblog.com. You're listening to AM 1160 WYLL. And I'm going to come after the break. I'm going to talk about mining for pearls in a secular world, another way to help our kids by training them to think a little bit about their world. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All aboard!
It's time for a day out with Thomas the Train, the classic storybook engine that's chugging its way to the Illinois Railway Museum on August 17th, 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. Take the kids on a 20-minute ride with Thomas. Meet Sir Topham Hatt. Enjoy storytelling, live music, and much more. The Illinois Railway Museum is America's largest railway museum, a not-for-profit educational corporation located in Union, Illinois. Day out with Thomas tickets are on sale now and are limited, so hurry and reserve your tickets by going to IRM.org. That's IRM.org. For more information, call 1-800-BIG-RAIL. 1-800-BIG-RAIL. Day Out with Thomas is an exciting way for children and grown-ups to enter the world of Thomas and Friends. Kids ride aboard a train led by Thomas and have their pictures taken with Sir Topham Hatt. There's also a special viewing station for Thomas and Friends videos, story time, and temporary tattoos on the island of Sodor Friends. See Thomas the Train at Day Out with Thomas at the Illinois Railway Museum. Go to IRM.org for tickets.
A new baby is on the way, a beautiful beginning for you and your family. You can't wait. But what will you need to prepare? Beautiful Beginnings. At Beautiful Beginnings, you'll find everything you need for your baby's nursery, from the fine furnishings to the beautiful art for the walls. When you walk into Beautiful Beginnings, you'll get the sense of a new baby right down to the smell. The owners and staff are experienced moms. They have 30 children between them, so the knowledge about babies and products in their store is priceless. Their designers will help you decorate and design your baby's nursery with all the things you'll need and many unique things you won't find anywhere else. Find out why people from all over the Chicagoland area shop Beautiful Beginnings. Visit Beautiful Beginnings today for the 40% off sale on spring-summer apparel. Fall apparel is arriving soon. Beautiful Beginnings in Western Springs and now open in Chicago in Lincoln Park or online at shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. That's shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. Beautiful Beginnings, celebrating babies since 1995.
When your child says,
"Why do I need to learn this?"
The truth is,
"I don't understand it."
When your child says,
"I don't like school."
The truth is,
"Everybody reads better than I do."
When your child says,
"Who cares about college?"
The truth is,
"I have bad grades."
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. Right now, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Find out if your child is on track or needs a little bit of help. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call Karen at 847-395-6741 to make your appointment today. 847-395-6741. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Strip Mall. 847-395-6741.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. You're listening to AM 1160 WYLL. But you can listen to It Takes a Parent anytime on betsysblog.com. Feel free to visit to get a podcast to learn more about my fabulous sponsors and their special deals for my listeners. And you can find out about all the times I think I'm, a little solitary sometimes in my the way I handle parenting. You know, I was talking earlier in the show about dating, and I seem to be sort of alone on that one. Now, here's another area, though. This is also about teaching our kids to think wisely about their world. And I guess where I think I'm a little different is, instead of just wanting to keep the world away from my kids, I want them to learn to think about it a little bit, to look for the beauty that can be really in the middle of a lot of muck. And sometimes I think we try to keep the world out as if that protects our kids, when sometimes the way we best protect our kids, it seems to me, is by thinking through or helping them to think through what's right and good, even in the middle of the junk. You know, I would love to know what you think about this. Am I completely off base here? Let's get a conversation going at betsysblog.com. It's betsysblog.com. And, you know, recently I wrote a column and I discussed whether or not women should initiate pursuit of a man. And the answer was no. If he wants you, you know, if he's worth having, he'll pursue you. Okay, separate matter. Anyway, in the column, I referenced a relationship book, He's Just Not That Into You, by Greg Behrendt. Here's what a reader, you know, wrote to me and concerned about that reference. You know, Betsy, I know it's a bestseller, but it's an advocate of faith and values. I'm surprised you mentioned it because it's such an anti-marriage and anti-family book. And it's true. It's a very secular book and it's very raw and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I still think there are pearls of wisdom in there. I mean, men and women operate in a certain way. You know, there's some truth about human nature. And I don't think we have to be afraid of finding some of that truth in secular sources. I mean, all truth is God's truth, right? I mean, look at the Proverbs. Something like 25% of them were inspired by Egyptian pagan literature. But all truth is God's truth. So wherever we find it, you know, we should be grateful for it. And if there's truths about relationships in a secular book, but they're still true because they're based on human nature as it really is, well, you know what? I think we can learn from that. And so I think in the world at large, whether it comes to music or TV or movies or the internet, sometimes there's a good place to just keep it out. But, you know, the thing itself doesn't cause us to sin. It's how we handle it and view it that decides whether or not we're sinning. And my example I use in that is, let's look at a vice cop who is arresting a fellow who produces child pornography. The child pornographer, in looking at that, or the person who's partaking in it, is sinning. The vice cop, who might have to look at that very same material if he's doing it to put that other guy behind bars, well, he's not sinning. In fact, he's behaving virtuously. So the issue is not the child pornography, which is wicked. The issue is the heart of, when it comes to the human heart, the issue is how the human heart responds to that. Sin always comes from the heart. And I think we have to remember that when it comes to our children, too. It's not just enough to say when the image comes through the computer, the pornographic image we don't want our kids to see, oh, honey, don't look at that, and to teach them to turn away from it because it's an ugly thing. Well, that's fine. But what we really want to do is to go deeper and to teach our kids to be just offended that God's gift of sexuality, that God's gift of seduction, which is a good thing between a husband and wife, that God's gift of those things is being so degraded in such a disgusting way. And there's just so many ways in our culture that we can help our kids to think through those things so that they can approach their adult lives with wiser hearts that aren't cynical, that aren't hardened, and aren't terrified of a world which really does have so much good in it. You know, I would love to know what you think about this. Do you think I'm way off base? Do you think I'm making sense? I'd love to get a conversation going about this at betsysblog.com. Let's do this at betsysblog.com. And I'm not just talking about Rod Stewart, who has a fabulous voice, and I think he is a gift, even if he doesn't know it. I think he's a gift from God. He uses his voice in a way that, to me, honors God when I hear it, even if Rod Stewart doesn't know he's doing that. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about all kinds of things. In particular, I'm thinking of a movie that I watched recently with my kids, The Last Mimsy. Cute little film, cute family film about a bunny that has to come back from the future to save the humanity of the future and so forth. Well, this movie had every single liberal caricature you could put in it, from denouncing the Patriot Act to environmentalism as a source of all evil to children are wise and inherently virtuous and good. You know, it had all that stuff in it. Now, a lot of people would have just turned it all off, or a lot of people would have watched it but not wanted to say anything. I think it's appropriate to watch the film with my kids, to have a good time with it, to enjoy it, say, oh, isn't that cute? But you know what? Did you see how Hollywood tried to work in some of those themes and make you think a certain way about the world that doesn't make a lot of sense? And yeah, that's kind of interesting, Mom, that they do that. Yeah, they did it here. Oh, that's kind of interesting. But this part of the movie was really cute, and overall it was family fun. And I guess what I'm getting is, when it comes to our kids, whether it's dating, whether it's a movie they're watching, whatever it may be, We can't always keep the world out and just say no. We have to let them know our thinking and our hearts, and we have to try to get our hearts into their hearts and minds. And that starts at the very beginning. It really does take a parent. Friends, that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening to It Takes a Parent. I'm Betsy Hart on WYLL AM 1160. I want to thank our fabulous sponsors, Beautiful Beginnings of Western Springs and now Lincoln Park, the Illinois Railway Museum, and the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. We hope that you will join us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Meantime, remember the words of Paul to the Philippians. Whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is noble. Finally, brothers, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See you next week.